Hello, I'm Elias. Every time I do that, I sound Jewish. Good evening, everybody. This is your WWE post-Raw show. I am Don Tony, thanking you for joining me tonight. Come on, was it that hard to figure it out? I mean, don't get me wrong. I will never turn down compliments like this. But that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. I mean, from Aaron Stevens to other scenarios, I mean, come on. This, we nailed it as Ronnie with this generous $100 spot, saying, nailed it last week, right down to Kevin Owens' meltdown. You could see that a mile away. But I tell you, WWE did a beautiful segment. We will break it down. And for those that don't know how they pulled that off, I will show you in a little bit. This gets kind of itchy. I know it doesn't normally glue, but when I saw that 100 spot came in, I had to put some electrical tape on there so it would stick for a little bit. How's everybody doing tonight? We just had, I would say, a pretty good episode of Raw. look, I know this upsets some people, you know, but listen, just to summarize everything we've talked about the last few days about Vince McMahon, this is the best way I could explain it right now. COVID is still around. We got variants upon variants upon variants. Just when you think that it's out of here, another variant shows up. It's annoying. You got to be very careful, but COVID is still here. We have $6 a gallon gasoline, in some areas $7 a gallon. And that doesn't just affect motor vehicles. It affects businesses, cabs, food, delivery, airline, every shipments. It affects everything across the board. We have inflation. We have the war in Ukraine still going on. We have out of control gun violence. We have civil unrest. And you mean to tell me, as a pro wrestling fan, that I give that much of a shit that a 73-year-old executive had consensual sex with an employee? Would I ever do it? No. I would be flattered if someone in their 40s, when I'm 73, still finds me attractive, but I'm taken, and I would never do that. Vince McMahon is a pig. Vince McMahon is unfaithful. We don't know if they have an open marriage. It doesn't make it better, but he did not break any laws. If anything, he broke some big-time morals. But with all of this horrible shit going on in this world, I honestly don't give that much of a shit that a 73-year-old got laid. What bothers me about that whole thing, and take note of it, take note of those people that are over the top outspoken about this. What is absent on about 95% of those people's posts? They're so outraged about Vince McMahon having consensual sex with an employee, but they're nowhere near as upset that John Laurinaitis may have cheated on his wife, the Bella's mother, while she was battling brain cancer. How in a blue fuck can you be that outraged at Vince McMahon, but yet say one tiny peep about Johnny Ace and banging people while his wife is battling brain cancer? See, the good thing about Twitter and Facebook and others is you cannot backdate posts. You could Photoshop, you could try to tweak things around, but you can't backdate. And all of those people, the last 3-4 days that this stuff was going on, they can't go back in time and add a tweet about Johnny Ace. Not talking about everybody, but the fact that that guy could have done that, to me, morally, that is 100 times worse than Vince McMahon. You know, Vince McMahon, 73 years old, you know, at his final days, you know, he's not terminal, but his final days on this earth, he's at the last chapter, still being able to do it, still wanting to do it. You know, again, the circumstances surrounding it, I wouldn't have done it. But at 73 years old, man, I hope I still have that drive, seriously. Even if I'm in my room and I just want to play pocket pool, at minimum, I hope I want to play pocket pool. You know, I hope there's a callus on my thumb at 73 years old. Do you really give that much of a shit about it? And you know what upset me more than anything? And I said it tonight. I will not apologize. I respect anybody's opinion about Vince McMahon in this situation. I respect everybody who criticizes it. I respect everybody who doesn't care about it all that much. And guess what, everybody? I have no problem when fans cheer like that for Vince McMahon, who came out tonight on Raw. Oh, on Friday, when we saw it on SmackDown. I joked on the watch party. I tweeted about it. I talked about it on Saturday and Sunday, and even today, WWE put Vince on Raw. For the people that are over the top, angry, livid about this, and you know they do it because they just hate Vince and they hate WWE, you know, but have no issues with Johnny A. Oh, I had no idea. You know, put him on TV. Put him on TV. What that guy has done for me as a wrestling fan for 40 years, yeah, it's fucked up. I feel bad for Linda. I feel bad for that whole family. It's embarrassing. But for 40 years of being entertained as a wrestling fan, I have met so many wonderful people online because of wrestling. I'm still doing what I do here because of wrestling. Of course, I give credit to ECW, WCW, NWA, MLW, Indie Circuit, a little bit of Ring of Honor, TNA, Impact Wrestling, New Japan, All Japan, FMW, AWA, AAA. You know, I could go on and on and on. But there ain't no way, because of an imperfect, chauvinistic 73-year-old has consensual sex. We pointed it out today on the sit-down. I don't know if you all checked out the sit-down. We had a fun show this afternoon. I didn't do the show yesterday because I ended up spending some extra time with my dad for Father's Day. And for everyone out there, for you, your family, whether they're still here or they're looking down, happy Father's Day. For everybody who celebrates Juneteenth, I express my best wishes to you as well. I hope everybody had a nice weekend. You know, but, you know, for me, I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to make fans feel guilty because, again, look at this video again. Look at that reaction. This is Vince McMahon rubbing it in the haters' faces. This is Vince McMahon, because he owns that company, wants to show the world that I am beloved. Vince McMahon has an ego. There's a lot of reasons why he's doing this. All right? It's going to piss off a lot of people. And the worst part about it is there are going to be a lot of people out there that won't accept the outcome of this investigation. Unless it comes back the worst case scenario, they're not going to accept it. Understand, there is more than one outside investigation firms that are investigating this. And already people are saying, oh, he's got power, he's bribing people. They're already preparing for the worst. Instead of just accepting whatever happens, happens. No, they have to dictate it their way. It's either their way or no way. And for everyone out there, never, never feel like you can't still show appreciation for this guy. Never feel like you can't criticize this guy. You know, that's the worst part about all of this. I have seen people going after other people because they don't find that big of a deal. There's so much horrible shit going on in this world. And I care about a 73-year-old who fucked one of his employees. And then after his employee was terminated, she told him, give me money or I tell the world that I had sex with you. Why is the media labeling this person as a victim? It was purely consensual. Why is she perceived? I'm not throwing shade against the woman involved. I'm not. She didn't commit any crimes. He didn't commit any crimes. Why is she a victim? Because someone in power had sex with her? How do you know she didn't want to do it? See, this is what I mean. You know, people want to come to their own conclusion, and that's fine. But for me, honestly, there is so much bullshit going on in this world. I honestly don't give that much of a shit that a 73-year-old got laid. If he used his power, like the couch, a casting couch, and we heard that this person was threatened to lose their job unless they gave it, that is totally different. There is no accusations of crimes being committed here. It is morals that is being challenged here. So please, spare me your extra dramatic shit. The guy did not violate any laws. Might have violated morals and business practices. And yeah, if this ends up being true, you know, then he should step down. I'm not saying that he shouldn't, but I'm not going to fucking call for this guy's head or curse out other people online because they still show appreciation for this guy. So anyway, so in case you haven't figured it out, yeah, he came out tonight on Raw. And we expected that, but big pop from the crowd. Now, here, I want you to, here's a little homework for you tonight. Go on Google, type in Vince McMahon appears on Raw, strange. Add the word strange. That is the magic word that a lot of the wrestling news sites are trying to clickbait today. Vince McMahon makes a strange appearance on Raw. Put the allegations aside for a minute. What was so strange about it? Vince McMahon came on Raw and was hyping up the fact that next week, one of the greatest, biggest superstars in WWE's history makes his return. Vince came out and talked about the last 30 years of WWE on television. Raw started in 1993. It's almost 30 years already. And he said 20 of those 30 years have been dominated by what he calls the greatest WWE superstar of all time. Why is that weird? Why is that weird? Why? Because you think he shouldn't come out on camera? That he doesn't look like he feels remorse? Why should he feel remorse? Seriously. It's fucked up what he did. He knew what he was getting into. He's a billion-dollar CEO, majority owner of WWE. Look, I won't even pay, if I was single right now, I wouldn't even pay $100 for pussy. This guy paid $3 million plus for pussy and possibly his future. I hope it was worth it. Seriously. But him coming out to plug Cena next week is strange. Why is it strange? Please, somebody, tell me why that's strange. So stupid, man. So stupid. I will criticize WWE about something tonight. We talked about the other referees passing over the weekend. Yesterday, we learned that Tim White passed away at 68 years old. Tim White, arguably the most controversial WWE referee next to Earl Hebner because of the Montreal Screwjob. Tim White, and we were talking about a little bit earlier today on the sit-down. Tim White, very, very unique person as far as the camera goes. You know, somebody said it in our chat room earlier today. The first thing I thought about when Tim White passed is, I hope Andre the Giant was at the pearly gates welcoming him in.
Tim, where you been? Give me a drink.
He beloved Andre the Giant. He was Andre the Giant's caretaker. Andre's latter years. They loved each other so much. And Tim White was very, very beloved in WWE. You know, what they did on TV, which we will get into in a moment, was still, for me, the second most disturbing WWE moment of all time next to Katie Vick. But Tim White, behind the scenes, you look at people's social media posts from John Cena to Big E to Stephanie McMahon to wrestlers that are in AEW right now. They all have nothing but amazing love and memories of Tim White. That's how beloved this man was. Now, I do find it a little bit messed up that WWE did not pay respects to Dave Hebner. Yes, The Hepners were accused many, many years ago of fraud with the merchandise, and we know that whole story. We talked about it on Saturday. But still, you know, Dave and Earl Hepner, there's no denying the greatest referee storyline in the history of pro wrestling when Hulk Hogan lost the WWF Championship to Andre the Giant, and he in turn gave it to Ted DiBiase, and we had twin referees in the ring. And Hulk doesn't know which one is the good referee. And the funny thing about it is, because Earl Hepner is the more recognizable referee when we look back at WWE history, it was Dave Hepner who was the one that was working there at that time. Earl Hepner was new. Earl Hepner came from the Crockett's. So when Hulk threw Earl Hepner, Dave stepped away from the TV. Dave really was not a referee anymore. Dave was working in the offices, and he was also caretaker for Andre the Giant. Earl Hepner was refereeing, and early on, they still announced the referees' names. And you would think the easy way to write it off is just say that's Dave Hepner. The easiest thing WWE could have done at that time is when they announced the referee, when Mel Phillips used to say, "Your referee in this match, blah, 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 blah." He could have just said Dave Hepner. There was no social media. Who are we going to complain to? My friend, that's not Dave Hepner. Yeah, they look a little different. It's almost like an Elias Ezekiel situation. But they called him Earl Hepner. And early on, you know, you would have Jesse Ventura and Vince and others trying to, you know, like blend in, you know, so, like who is, you know, like who paid them to get the plastic surgery? And Earl Hepner's refereeing, and how is he refereeing? And they tried to play off that he was up to no good. And then little by little, you just forgot about it. And Earl Hepner ended up being the referee. Now, for all of you newer wrestling fans out there, thank you. Someone sent me this photo of Big E with, that's very recent. You know, obviously not at that recent. Big E is recovering. And as you heard last week, Big E is doing extremely well. No longer has to wear the neck brace. So far, so good. Thank God. But, you know, we look back at Tim White's career. And look, the reason why I'm not talking about Dave Hepner tonight is because we paid a nice tribute to him on Saturday. So if you haven't checked out Saturday's show yet, go right ahead. You could skim through it. You'll see a picture of him on the screen. You'll know that's when we're talking about him. But Tim White, not a bad referee, but in 2005, for the newer wrestling fans out there that never saw this, I'm going to post a link. Actually, when I go like this later, what's going to pop up is a link for a YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel is, I'm going to pull it up right now. It is Ref, R-E-F, Tim White. All right, just R-E-F, Tim White. Look up that channel. All it is, all that channel is the 16 sketches of Tim White and Josh Matthews from 2005. For those out there that don't know what I'm talking about, 2005, when Tim White was forced into retirement because of a shoulder injury, WWE started doing a storyline that Tim White wanted to end it all. I got to be totally honest with you. At that time, and I have hotline reports, and we were podcasting at that time. I have early podcasts talking about this. I'm almost tempted to put them back online so you can enjoy them. I was very disturbed by those skits. They were comedy for a lot of people, but watching Tim White week after week trying to end it all, and they actually off camera gave you the perception that he did, they can never do that in 2022. Could you imagine if they did? And if you have never seen those skits, if you could stomach it, go out of your way. You might find it hilarious looking back at this. You know, I went through the screenshots. I had to be very, very careful of what to put up here. I don't even want to say the S word, but that is a screenshot where he was going to ingest rat poison. That was a week after he had a rifle and accidentally shot himself in the foot. But every week he attempted to do something, and here is one right there with a toaster. Look, he throws the toaster in the water. He never talked until the very end. There you go. Look at the special effects. Look, look, look. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. You watch it again. Look, get out of my way. Toaster, oven, tub. That is probably the safest one I could put online. Those were extremely disturbing, man. You know, this was the time where attitude turned into ruthless aggression, and then they were at the point where they had to go family friendly. And we talked about it earlier today that there was a lot of storylines at that time where you could kind of look back and see the struggle with still wanting to do attitude and ruthless aggression and wanting to go family friendly. And there was this battle at that time. I don't know who was on what side, but there was a battle going on. That storyline to me is one of the worst in wrestling history. The only reason why I could look at it now and kind of chuckle a little bit is because how beloved Tim White was in wrestling. To see that amount of love that this man is being given, you know, rest in peace, Tim White, rest in peace. But if you want to see some wild shit 17 years ago, go check out that channel I talked about earlier. So rest in peace for Tim White. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about Raw. Some ratings news. Oh boy, what happened with AEW Rampage? Oh my God. And I'm not clickbaiting and I'm not falsely. Their ratings are now in the threes in their regular time slot. If you tuned in to Saturday, we went into a little deep dive as to why AEW's ratings are shooting downward. And it's because of the New Japan storyline. It's because of the Ring of Honor influx, you know, and now you're seeing it reflect into Rampage. And you realize, I'm going to show you a graph a little bit later, how far down it's become. I mean, this is disturbing, but look, they're all in, no pun intended, with Forbidden Door. They got to get through Forbidden Door. And they got to stop with the, I don't care if it's a Forbidden Door. AEW has such a deep roster. I'm not being nasty. You don't need New Japan. All right, Ring of Honor is not back. It's not back. You show me all these belts. I don't give a shit. It's not back. And they keep doing this and forcing it and forcing it. Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor. No, show me that AEW. Its attitude, what made it unique, what made it feel different. Give me AEW. Anybody that wants Ring of Honor, give it to them separately. Just because I'm watching Dynamite, I don't want to watch Ring of Honor stuff. I'm not trying to be cold. And I guarantee you a majority of people out there don't want to watch New Japan. If that was the case, why that blue line all the way in the bottom is New Japan's ratings? I guess we could just show it to you right now, get it out of the way. Look at New Japan's ratings. Does it look like there was any bump whatsoever because of AEW and Forbidden Door? Absolutely not. Look at the gray line, little lower than the middle, which is Dynamite, and look at the orange line, which is Rampage. Do you see that steep decline over the last 3 weeks? That's all Forbidden Door. That is all New Japan. And look, even before it, there was a boost going into Double or Nothing. But look at the pattern. Once Ring of Honor started floating on this TV and being shoved down our throats, everything is a decline. The only time that they have had a nice steady increase was the 3 weeks leading into Double or Nothing. You see that pattern. And that is horrendous. AEW Rampage this week did 331,000 viewers, with the exception of that one day that they started at 5:30 in the afternoon. That is the lowest rating in the history of Rampage. Dynamite was down over 20%. Rampage was down over 30%. You can't blame hockey. You can't blame a shooting. You can't blame politics. You can't blame a natural disaster. You can't blame playoffs. When do people turn around and start being a little bit honest and say, look, you know, Yeah, you want to bring Ring of Honor back? You know, just because you have this hardcore love for it, there's a reason why Ring of Honor only drew hundreds of fans for years and years and years. Adam Cole was in Ring of Honor not too long ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago. Well, 7 years ago. Hangman Page was in Ring of Honor. Kyle O'Reilly was in Ring of Honor. I know CM Punk and others, we're just talking about over the last 10 years. A lot of the wrestlers you see on TV right now were in Ring of Honor at the time, yet they still only drew hundreds of people. You know, so this obsession that Tony Khan has for New Japan, and like I said, his priorities, to sum it up, are wrong. His priorities should be you please your regular fans first, you please the casual wrestling fans second, you please your niche fans third, because your niche fans is the smallest group of people, and you please yourself last. What you have been seeing on TV since the Ring of Honor purchase is Tony Khan pleasing himself first, pleasing niche fans second, because he feels that AEW fans, if they love AEW, they gotta love New Japan, they gotta love Ring of Honor. You please the casual fans third, and you see where it's off track. Every time you see Tony Khan say, this was a fantasy match of mine, this is a dream match of mine, it's that, well, it's not for us. And people are like, you know, make us feel like you're doing what we want, not what you like. You know, that was one of the biggest turnoffs with Vince McMahon back in the day. I still remember that promo when Vince McMahon said, we know what the fans want before they even know what they want. The fuck is that? So, horrible numbers. Horrible numbers. As we called Saturday, not only did SmackDown score a monster rating, 2,290,000, which is up 306,000 from the week before, but hour two, Riddle versus Roman Reigns hour, that's the number that put it that big. Vince McMahon making a 45-second appearance did not affect those ratings at all. Like we, if you do simple math, like we said on Saturday, you could have 10 million people tune into those first 60 seconds, 90 seconds of the show when Vince was out there. You divide that over a two-hour period, that doesn't do anything. That doesn't do anything. All right. So we got that stuff out of the way. Now we could focus on Raw. We could talk a little bit of preview, answer a couple of questions, super chats. We're out of here. So Raw tonight. Obviously, the big news coming out of Raw tonight was, unfortunately, Rhea Ripley is unable to compete at Money in the Bank. That is obviously a huge blow, first of all, for Judgment Day. Judgment Day main evented tonight, a main event. Ever since the Edge attack, does it feel like Judgment Day is on a roll right now? We've seen recaps. The recaps are what's been powerful. What they did to Edge is what has everybody buzzing. Since then, they have done nothing. They have done nothing. Finn Balor and Damian Priest beat the Mysterios tonight on main event. And Doudrop beat Dana Brooke to win the 24/7 title. There may have been a couple other title changes before that, but at the end of everything, Doudrop right now is your 24/7 champion. So, Rhea Ripley unable to compete at Money in the Bank. Therefore, tonight, we had a fatal five-way to determine who was going to take on Bianca Belair and Money in the Bank. Much love to everyone out there who read my synopsis. Obviously, I had to update it tonight because of it, but if you saw the synopsis for the last couple of days, I said Carmella returning to Raw as early as Monday. Not only did Carmella return to Raw tonight, she was part of the fatal five-way to determine the new number one contender for Bianca Belair's title at Money in the Bank. And this is pretty much what we saw in this match. Everybody really working their ass off. We got a This Is Awesome chant during this match tonight, even though if you really go back at that match, I think it was just more of the nonstop energy that was awesome. Nobody really shined tonight except for Liv Morgan and Carmella. Asuka and Becky Lynch did some, but they did far less than what you would have expected. And there's a reason behind that. Because advertised tonight was a Money in the Bank qualifier. And that was Asuka versus Becky Lynch. That match was still on the table. Despite the Rhea Ripley injury, despite Asuka and and Becky Lynch being in this fatal five-way, they were still advertised for the Money in the Bank qualifying match tonight. So if you knew that early on, you realized that Asuka and Becky Lynch were going to do double duty. So Becky did more than what I expected her to do. But before this even happened, you know, it got a little odd at the beginning because Bianca Belair came out, cut a promo, you know, acknowledged that Rhea Ripley cannot compete at Money in the Bank, but when Rhea is ready to return, Bianca is ready to take her on. And she mentions the five-way. Bianca is interrupted by Becky. Becky is interrupted by Asuka. Asuka and Becky are interrupted by Liv. Carmella interrupts them all. Alexa Bliss comes out, and they're all dissing each other. And while this is happening, Bianca Belair is center in the ring, and she's like, you know, it almost felt like Mark Henry tonight. Enough of the talking. It's time for the main event. She's like, let's go. Let's get it on. Enough of the talking. Let's go. And we go to commercial. And she's doing this. She's doing this. And I'm watching Becky and I'm like, why aren't you just knocking her on her ass? And everybody's looking at her. And she's doing this. And I'm getting a workout. And we go to commercial. I'm like, Bianca, why are you dancing? So anyway, she's sitting at ringside. She's watching this match. And it was a decent match. You know, Carmella, like I said, Carmella looked great tonight. Listen, I know there's a lot of people that don't like Carmella. They don't like her in-ring work. I'm not a big fan of Carmella. Anybody that's a longtime listener or viewer knows that. But you have to give credit where credit is due. She is trying her hardest. And she's, I think, turning the corner. Will she ever be in the category of Bianca and Becky and Charlotte? And by the way, should expect Charlotte back very, very shortly. I forgot to mention that, too. Because 2 weeks ago, we said because of Cody's injury, Brock Lesnar was on the fast track to return. And it happened. Same thing is going to happen with Charlotte, especially if Sasha Banks ends up gone. Now, again, until I hear from Sasha or WWE or that fan that's supposedly close to them that suddenly has gone silent. Till I hear it from them, keep saying it. Keep saying it. Let's find someone right now who's 95 years old and let's start reporting that, you know, we hear that so-and-so is not in good health and he may pass soon. You keep saying that. Then when that person passes, see, I told you. We don't know what's going to happen with Sasha. If Sasha ends up staying, which I hope she does, if Sasha ends up staying, what are people going to say? Oh, no, she was released before she was brought back? Because they know Sasha's not going to go on social media and say, you're a liar, you're full of shit. Vince, anyway, nobody's going to say anything. So people will just say what they want. And thank you, everybody, who pointed it out to me. Some of these journalists who are trying to be race to be first about are now tagging Snoop. They're now tagging Snoop. What is, why? Because if it ends up being true, you think Snoop's going to be like, hey, my dog, you got it right, my dog. What are you going to do, get a free cameo from the guy? Why are you tagging Snoop? Unbelievable. Speaking of Snoop, I thought that was funny today. Riddle comes out and he cuts a promo and he's taking on Omos tonight, the Money in the Bank qualifier. And Riddle, once again, man, I'm telling you, I smell heel turn. I smell it. I remember when I said it a long time ago and people like, DT, you're nuts. I just tried to be against it. He's now wearing a Hey Randy shirt. He's now telling everyone that Randy is officially retired. You know that's not true. I mean, no, look, I would find it shocking if Riddle turned heel. Riddle is one of the most beloved wrestlers in WWE. maybe even more the reason why you turn him heel. Because at the end of the day, this is how I look at it, everyone, and I think you'll agree with me when I say this. Riddle is so over right now. He is over with Rover. I don't know if he could get any more over. But no matter how over Riddle is, you put Randy in that same ring, and Randy is over even more. The only thing that stops me in my tracks about Riddle turning heel is that Randy loves being a heel. He fucking loves it. So if you were to say to me, which one would turn heel? I would say Randy 1,000 times over. Riddle would be shocking. But Riddle still bringing up Randy. This is an obsession. This is a little bit in the weird territory now. As some people said on Saturday, or even on the watch party on Friday. And by the way, we're going to draw a little prize in a little bit from Friday's watch parties. We got an awesome prize tonight. Oh, I wish everybody would have shown up Friday. But even Friday, when he cut his promo on SmackDown, people were like, did Randy die? It sounds like a funeral. And Riddle, once again, you know, talking about he's going to get revenge, and this time he brings up Seth, which makes me wonder if Seth and Riddle are going to have a feud down the line. I don't know. But MVP comes out, and MVP is like, I don't know if you've been hanging out with Wiz Khalifa or Snoop Dogg, because they're the only two guys I know that have that kind of stash. And they're joking about being high and all this stuff. And Riddle says the only time I'm going to be high is when they lift my hand high when I beat Omos tonight. And it was a fun promo exchange. But it was a little bit odd. It was just very, very odd. Now, Riddle did tease a little loophole. Because I know you were all thinking what I was thinking. Wait a minute. Riddle just lost a match where he can't face Roman anymore. But if he wins the briefcase, how is that going to work? Yeah, see, WWE, you would think, didn't think that out all that well. Well, it didn't matter. Because tonight, we did have Omos beating Riddle. And I will say a little bit uneventfully, in my opinion. A little bit uneventful. And to direct attention away from that quickly, before you can even say, Omos, Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins comes out and hits Riddle with the curb stomp. So who knows? We may see Seth Rollins and Riddle ultimately going at it. Omos being in Money in the Bank is very, very interesting. But I don't see Omos taking on Roman Reigns. I just don't see it down the line. I could see Omos walking around with a briefcase for 9 months, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Now, I know we're going a little out of place. That's okay. But as we said in the opening match, it was Carmella to win the five-way. Basically, what happened towards the end of that match, we got a manhandle slam by Becky Lynch on Liv Morgan, but Asuka pulls Becky Lynch out of the ring. That was a very important moment because while that was going on, Alexa Bliss attempted Twisted Bliss on Liv, but Liv got the knees up and then Carmella with the super kick. Carmella gets the win. And afterwards, Becky Lynch is yelling in the back, why the hell does this keep happening? Blah, 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 blah. I should be champion right now. And then Adam Pearce tells her that she has a qualifier tonight against Asuka. And she's like, why does this keep happening to me? So you could see the storyline with Becky Lynch is cracking. It's cracking. Where it leads, I don't know. We don't know yet. Someone obviously will laugh at Becky and, you know, we'll get what we get. But right now, you know, Becky is on a little bit of a losing streak if you haven't noticed it. So, Vince, as we said earlier, comes out and he gets a big pop from the crowd. And he is touting John Cena's return next week, which I am definitely looking forward to. It's going to be cool to see him back. What he does from here is unknown. A lot of people think it will be Austin Theory versus John Cena at SummerSlam. Well, we found out that Theory does have a match at Money in the Bank. We'll explain who and why later on. So Vince comes out there for a couple of moments. We come back from commercial and we find out now that the match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam is now a last man standing match. That is the stipulation that they have added to it. Now, again, I don't want to get into what we talked about over the weekend, but I don't understand anybody who is angry at Brock Lesnar's return. He has been killing it the last 2 years. The last year especially, the guy has been charismatic, fun, entertaining, kicking ass in the ring, dominant. I know we had all our energy built up for the most important, biggest match in WrestleMania history. And we're tired. We're drained, might be the better word. We're drained from that feud. But Brock never got his rematch. And I know, some people never get their rematches, but I don't have a problem with this. Because you know, as well as I do, anybody else, except for maybe Seth Rollins, whoever would have been advertised against Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, I guarantee you, you would have a large group of noise online that would say, oh, look at the fucked up roster. I mean, maybe Bobby Lashley to a certain extent would be an exception, but if it would have been Sami Zayn or someone else, people would have said, wow, look how far down the title has become. Randy is not able to return yet. AJ, you know, is not in that position. So Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, you know it's going to be a good match. I'm not complaining about it. Last man standing makes it a little interesting because you know there's going to be interference. Could we see Riddle get involved? Could we see the return of Randy Orton? Could we see Drew McIntyre get involved? Anything is possible. Now, one thing I wanted to mention about Carmella now becoming Bianca Belair's opponent in Money in the Bank, for those that aren't aware of it, Bianca and Carmella have faced each other a few times already. In fact, two screenshots that I got from you, during the Thunderdome era, they faced off a few times. But what a lot of you may have forgotten is the first SmackDown back with live fans in attendance. What was the match that night? Bianca Belair defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Carmella. And if you go back and you watch some of Bianca Belair and Carmella's matches, they're not that bad. In fact, if you go back, I don't remember which match it was. It might have been July of last year. But you'll see quite a few people online saying, wow, this was Carmella's one of her best matches in her career. So they actually work well together. So yeah, Carmella's been out for a while. If any of you saw my Twitter earlier, I tweeted and deleted, and yes, I do regret it. Because once Carmella came back, I tweeted that, oh, see, as we teased, Carmella's back, and I said, now, if only WWE would have a win tonight just to piss off the whiny heinies. But then I deleted it, and I said, don't need to be a dick. And sure enough, Carmella gets the win. Go figure. So, but they have history with each other. Later on in the night, Bianca cuts a promo in the back and just to be attacked and laid out by Carmella, just to build up a little bit of heat. Because look, next week is the go-home Raw before Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank is next Saturday. So it is approaching quickly. So, after Riddle loses to Omos and Seth Rollins attacks Riddle, and Rollins brags about Money in the Bank as well, because remember, Seth Rollins is in the Money in the Bank match. We now get Theory out there. And Theory, you know, baby oil, posing, bragging from last week what went down. And this is to build up further his match against Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley, unfortunately, may be the next person fed to Theory prior to John Cena if that goes down. Now, there's quite a few people online that are saying that, oh, maybe John Cena will become part of Money in the Bank and it'll be a three-way. Not that fast. Not that fast. Sure, it would be a nice little ticket boost for Money in the Bank. But believe me, if John Cena was going to appear at Money in the Bank, not only would it have been announced already, they would have announced it before they had to move it from the stadium. Because I don't know how many extra tickets would have been bought if John Cena was advertised for Money in the Bank. But if John Cena was going to be in Money in the Bank, you don't move it to a small building and then say, oh, and it's almost sold out. And then say, oh, let's put him on the card. Why would you do that? So I don't expect John Cena to be wrestling at Money in the Bank. But theory is out there. Taking a couple of shots at Cena, using his phrase, my time is now. And he touts last week and he starts posing. And then we had a funny moment. Bobby Lashley shows up. And theory is in the ring. He has no idea he's there. The crowd is chanting Bobby, and he's like, settle down, settle down. You know, what are you chanting Bobby for? And Theory wants to wrap up his segment by taking a selfie in the ring. So as Theory takes a selfie, he looks at it close, and he's like, huh? Do you remember when The Rock fought Steve Austin many, many decades ago, and The Rock picked up the camera and he started cutting a promo, and then he turned over to Steve Austin and Steve Austin went like this and hit him with the stunner? Jericho has done that many times. A lot of wrestlers have done it over the years. This is kind of like the selfie equivalent of it, because he takes the selfie and he looks close. It's almost like when The Rock, when he got Paige that time, remember the beepers? The beepers. I took my beeper out last year on one of these shows. My beeper still works. It's just not programmed. But he got a beep and he looked at it and it said 316 on it. So that's what happened with Theory tonight. Theory takes a selfie. He looks at the selfie and he's like, wait a minute. And then Bobby Lashley's in the back of it. He turns around. Bobby Lashley squirts what is supposed to be oil, but it's water. And then they beat up. Lashley beats up Theory a little bit. Theory makes a challenge tonight that if Lashley wins a gauntlet match against three opponents, then Lashley gets his title shot at Money in the Bank. So we don't know who his opponents are going to be, but most of us thought it could very well be Theory, could be Ciampa. I was thinking maybe T-Bar. Didn't necessarily go completely in that direction. We could talk about it now. Bobby Lashley ends up facing Chad Gable first. Shoosh! Shoosh! Decent match. Obviously, Bobby Lashley was not losing this gauntlet. He beats Chad Gable with the Hurt Lock. Otis is at ringside during this. As soon as Chad taps out, Otis hits the ring. Now we have Bobby Lashley versus Otis. Bobby Lashley beats Otis by disqualification because Chad Gable interferes. So after the disqualification, Alpha Academy is working over Bobby Lashley, and it's similar to what happened with Mustafa Ali. By the way, how bad is the stock falling on Mustafa Ali like this? So Alpha Academy are beating the crap out of Bobby Lashley, and Theory's music hits. So Theory thinks, oh, I have the upper hand, I'll win. And the next thing you know, Bobby Lashley wins with the fruit roll-up. So Bobby Lashley will, in fact, face Theory for the U.S. title at Money in the Bank. And by the way, if you have not seen it yet, go out of your way and check out the Table for Three featuring the Hurt Business, minus MVP. Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, Bobby Lashley. It is really good. It is really good. I watched it twice. I enjoyed it very much. And as you're watching it, you realize how much longer the Hurt Business should have stood together. I mean, it's obviously not Four Horsemen territory. Very few factions go anywhere near it. But man, they could have had a run, not necessarily with titles, but the Hurt Business could have lasted another year. And yeah, most of their run was during the Thunderdome era. I don't understand why WWE was so insistent on changing that once they went back to live crowds. But that Table for Three was excellent. Go out of your way to see it. So now we get the Usos, the Street Profits, their exchange and insults. We end up getting a match. Angelo Dawkins beat Jey Uso. Just to give a little bit more cred, because the Street Profits will be taking on the Usos for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. Obviously, the Street Profits are not going to take those titles. Doesn't feel like it's going to happen. You know, people are still thinking about the residual effects of the Street Profits taking on Alpha Academy and RK-Bro week after week after week after week after week. You know, that kind of screwed them up a little bit. This will get them back on track, but this is basically where that's leading up. So, before we get to the good stuff, I am skipping over something. We had AJ Styles on Miz TV. Basically, Miz's balls were the topic of conversation. Again, now the term everybody's going with is popcorn balls. Yes, it's at the 10 o'clock hour, which is why they go a little bit balls heavy in the promo. Ultimately, this leads to some physicality with AJ Styles and Miz. Ciampa comes out, and look, you all know I am a big fan of Ciampa's. Loved his stuff in NXT. I am very concerned about his WWE future. It just feels flat. It just feels no direction. He just coming out there and attacking people at random for no real explanation whatsoever. Had a great match with AJ Styles while it lasted, but in the end, AJ Styles got the win. After the match is over, Miz tries to attack AJ Styles just to end up eating a Styles clash. We may be getting Miz versus AJ Styles, either Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. You know, not everything that's going on right now is going to lead to Money in the Bank, because we do have quite a few matches already. We'll get into the updated card in a few moments. Veer, interviewed by Kevin Patrick on the Oakland stage. You know, we got to come up with a different name, but with Mean Gene's name on. Maybe Mean Gene Way, you know. But, you know, the backstage where Mean Gene Oakland used to always do the elevated part. I love that. I love that spot. But Kevin Patrick interviews Veer, and Veer's getting the what chance. What I did to Mysterio is the beginning. What? WWE has never seen hunger like mine. What? Never seen it like before. What? I love carnage. What? I can't be stopped. What? Fear, Veer. That will be on a shirt. Fear, Veer. He emphasized it. They went to his music right after. The Mysterios obviously were on Main Event, like I said earlier, so they would not appear tonight. And blah, 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 blah. So, that leaves us with just the main event and the concert. And again, very, very, very kind of you for that, Ronnie. I appreciate that. You know, I want to make it clear on these shows that anything that we talk about, any ideas, that's what I'm here for. You know, we try to look at things reasonably, not exaggerate for clickbait or attention. There was never a chance that Aaron Stevens, Damian Sandow was going to appear. You know, obviously he doesn't sound like Elias, wouldn't sing like Elias, wouldn't do anything. Now, for anybody out there that doesn't know how this was done, it's actually a lot easier than you think. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of things, because we were being teased the Elias concert today. And first, before Elias comes out, we get a backstage segment. They are in a room. Pay attention when I show you a picture. They are in a room, and the camera does not move at all. The lighting does not move at all. There can't even be windows visible. They put the backdrop for the sole reason of splicing two videos together. there's a lot of people online who are very, very creative that they will do YouTube videos and they will film themselves in a room and then they'll dress up and then film themselves on the other side of the room and splice the two sides together. That is why, if you look at it, the center of the couch is exactly in the center. Exactly in the center, how it's positioned. Now, I know what some people are going to say. No, D'Antoni, look at where Elias is sitting. The couch is a little bit more to the side. It's how the camera is positioned. Everything needs to be right in the center. So for those on audio only that didn't see Raw, Elias is on one side of the couch. His knee moves into the middle cushion. There's three cushions on this couch. You have the left side where Ezekiel was sitting. You have the middle and you have the right side where Elias was sitting. Now their knees are overlapping to the middle of the couch, but they never cross it. If you go back and watch when Ezekiel sits down on that couch, Elias is already sitting. When you go back and you watch Ezekiel sit down, you will not see the right side of that middle cushion move because it is perfectly spliced together. Perfectly spliced together. And what they did, you know, you could think back to Three Faces of Foley, which is, you know, that was excellent too, but that was a little bit easier because there was no backdrops. But this was beautiful. This was beautiful. This was all pre-recorded. In fact, Kevin Owens in the back selling that he got attacked by Elias, that was pre-recorded earlier in the day. When he saw Ezekiel in the back and had the meltdown, that's exactly what we talked about last week. So we get first the segment in the back, Ezekiel talking to Elias. Elias is happy to be back. He's just stopping through. So this is just a one-time appearance, and he's really happy, you know, to perform for the crowd. So Ezekiel gets up and walks away after a little bit. And they did a fabulous job. They glued the beard, exactly like we said. They gave him the wig. They gave him the headband so you wouldn't see where the wig ended. It's extensions, really hair extensions. If you look closely, the top of the hair was a little bit different in color. You're not going to dye hair extensions. You'll fuck it up. You have to be really, really careful with that stuff. But they did it perfect. And like I said on Saturday, you know, WWE, the first day that they came up with the Ezekiel storyline, they had costume companies creating a wig, a beard for Ezekiel. So when they want to do an Elias storyline mixed in, all they got to do is glue it to his face and he puts on the extensions and there you go. That's Elias. So this was something that they had for a while and it looked great. It looked absolutely great. I mean, I saw online even the biggest dejectors were saying this was a great segment. Elias is in the ring. Elias is performing his concert. Looks perfect. They did a fabulous job with the beard. They did a great job with the hair. And Kevin Owens comes out. And when Kevin Owens comes out, Kevin Owens is pissed. You're not going to fool me. And if you listen closely to what Kevin Owens said, he pretty much said everything that they did. Kevin Owens even said, this is movie magic of what we saw earlier with them in the same room. He said that you glued a beard on your face. So he takes Elias's guitar and he throws it down the rampway. Now, there were a couple of other guitars in the corner, in the ring. That was there for a reason. So after Kevin Owens throws the guitar down the rampway, exactly what we said last week was going to happen. Ezekiel is on the Titantron. Elias is in the ring. Kevin Owens has got his look on his face like, what the fuck is going on right now? Ezekiel is like, you see, there's my brother in the ring. Here I am now. And they're playing off that Ezekiel is live. But that's a pre-recorded segment, obviously. So what ends up happening, Kevin Owens tries to attack Elias. Elias hits him with the high knee. Elias grabs a guitar in the corner, bashes it over to Kevin Owens' head, and segment over. We then see a camera in the back with Kevin Owens. And Kevin Patrick is interviewing Kevin Owens. Now, as I said, that segment was recorded earlier in the day. Because at this moment, Elias is still in the ring. So Kevin Owens is in the back, and he's like, next week, I don't care who's in the ring. I'm challenging him to a match. I don't care if it's Elias. I don't care if it's Ezekiel. I don't care if it's their younger brother, Elrod. I want one of them in the ring next week. And what happens? Ezekiel shows up. And if you look at Kevin Owens, look, I can't put a longer segment because then we'll get hit with copyright, but you see him? Look, Kevin Owens. Look at Kevin Owens' face right at the beginning. You see his reaction. Because Elias is still in the ring. Ezekiel is in front of his face. So Ezekiel accepts the match. He walks away, and Kevin Owens has a meltdown. Exactly what we said last week. The meltdown. He's losing it. He's losing it. And everybody loved that segment. It was really well done. But that segment in the back, you'd be surprised how easy that is. It's some work. But if you pay close attention, I mean, even one of my cooking channels, there's a guy, if you want to go check it out, if you're into keto and you like cooking channels, he's a good guy. I think he's a wrestling fan also. And I've talked to him. I'm actually one of his Patreons. Black Tie Kitchen. You go check out his YouTube channel, Black Tie Kitchen. Go there and tell him Don Tony says hello. He knows who I am. He does a lot of skits when he's cooking, and he has three or four characters, and they're all him. And what he does in his kitchen is he shows you behind-the-scenes work, and he'll record one side of the kitchen like himself, and then he'll take himself in an outfit, in a costume, and record the opposite side, and he puts them together. Sometimes he's sitting at a dinner table, and there's three of him, all sitting at the dinner table, and it looks perfect. And this is a guy doing a YouTube show from his house. So it's awesome what you could do these days. Believe me, if I wanted to just for a goof, I could record half the room if I wanted to, put the camera back, do one like this and have me sitting next to him, as long as we don't cross that line. You will go back and you watch the thing. You will never see Ezekiel cross that middle. And Elias doesn't cross that middle. So that's how they do it. But good work. Good work by WWE. And in the main event tonight, we had Asuka beating Becky Lynch. Fun match. Nothing really out of the ordinary. You know, Becky losing in the end just has her snap even further. Now, Becky Lynch is featured on the Money in the Bank poster. So you think she's obviously got to have a match. Who does she have it with? Alexa Bliss? Liv Morgan? I don't know. But Becky Lynch not being on Money in the Bank is a big deal. Now, if Charlotte was not returning, I could see Becky Lynch showing up on SmackDown and maybe going at it with Ronda Rousey down the line. It could still happen. Why not? The Street Profits were Raw wrestlers. And sure, because the Usos are undisputed champions, they're on both brands. But we had the Street Profits show up on SmackDown before. We've had wrestlers show up from SmackDown on Raw and challenge someone. You know, it wouldn't be that out of the ordinary. So who knows? But obviously, this is Becky Lynch's breaking point. Someone obviously has got to throw an insult to her or laugh or say something wrong, and she's got to snap and just beat the fuck out of them. Who that is, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people think that Bayley is about to return. I mean, that's possible. I don't know. But right now, Asuka advancing. Look, Asuka just took on Bianca Belair, the last pay-per-view. with Becky Lynch. I know a lot of you out there would love to see Asuka get another run. It's not happening anytime soon. I'm sure a lot of you would not even mind Asuka versus Bianca Belair. But it does not feel like it's going in that direction. So the Money in the Bank match itself, whoever has that briefcase, they're going to probably hold it for a little while. I'd be surprised if they cash it in quickly. But Asuka being in Money in the Bank, I don't know. It just doesn't feel that, you know, like you think Seth Rollins, he's in the Money in the Bank match. And Seth Rollins, in almost everybody's view, is the odds-on favorite to win it. If Riddle would have won his match tonight, I think some people would have really thought, wow, I could see Riddle, we talked about it, Riddle walking around with the briefcase or riding a scooter with the briefcase. Maybe he makes a little custom hook on the front where he could hook his briefcase. But they didn't go that way. So, you know, Asuka, I don't know. It doesn't feel as important as it should. But Asuka beats Becky Lynch tonight, so she goes on in the Money in the Bank match, joining Lacey Evans, Raquel Rodriguez, who else is in it? Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan. So, you know, who is going to be going out of there? I mean, look, if Alexa Bliss wins the briefcase, I think Lily is bye-bye. I don't see her holding a doll and a briefcase. And no, I don't see her putting the doll inside the briefcase. I know a lot of people think that Liv Morgan might be the odds-on favorite. We don't know who else is in there. Look, for all we know, Charlotte could return and end up in the match. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but anything is possible. So, I like this episode of Raw. Some of the matches were awfully predictable. You knew what was going to happen with Lashley, but the matches were fun. I don't think anything really stunk out the joint. And the opening match under the circumstance with Rhea Ripley, I thought they did a pretty good job. So not bad. Not a bad night for Raw, to be honest with you. And look, if you look at Raw's rating last week, Raw did, what did they do last week? Or did I delete my ratings already? No, I have it right here. Raw did last week 1.7 million. So I don't expect a huge boost and I don't expect a huge decline. Next week, John Cena will be back. So I think they will get very close to 2 million viewers next week. I think they very well could hit 2 million viewers. Look at SmackDown. SmackDown this week did 2,290,000. I mean, that is 376,000 more viewers. That's a lot of freaking people. Yeah, Roman Reigns was advertised, and yeah, against Riddle as well. But almost 400,000 viewers than the week before, that's more viewers than what Rampage had. So that was a nice boost. Now you got John Cena showing up, and it's the go-home Raw into Money in the Bank. So they got a little momentum going on right now. Now, speaking of Money in the Bank, the matches right now as it stands, we have Bianca Belair versus Carmella for the Raw Women's Championship. We have Ronda Rousey versus Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship. The Money in the Bank match, the men's side, right now we have Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Omos, and then we have next week Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. Winner of that match goes on. And then we have a couple of more participants that still need to be added. So we'll get some answers on Friday. On the women's side, we have Lacey Evans versus Alexa Bliss versus Liv Morgan versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Asuka. Next week, we have Aaliyah versus Shotzi Blackheart. The winner of that match, and I believe two more, they will go on to the Money in the Bank match. Then we have the Usos defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships against the Street Profits. And Theory will be defending the United States Championship against Bobby Lashley. So, you know, the Money in the Bank matches are the matches we're going to remember. I don't doubt that some of the other matches will be okay, but, you know, all the focus is going to be on those Money in the Bank matches. We may get a little storyline or a little advancement with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I mean, that might, you know, be a part of it. But Roman obviously is not going to be wrestling at Money in the Bank. I mean, anything could change, but it seems like it's not. So, you know, not bad, not bad. Now, tomorrow on NXT. And if you've been paying attention to NXT, you know, their numbers have been very, very consistent, extremely consistent. Last week, they were in the low sixes as far as numbers go. And yeah, look, I don't compare the two products, but I know there's people out there, oh, NXT's drawing bigger numbers than Rampage. I said it last week. Rampage, I enjoy more than Dynamite. The last two Rampages, I've enjoyed very much, better than Dynamite. But I don't like comparing the products. And I think also it's wrong to just laugh at somebody else's demise or decline. Obviously, AEW is having a serious problem right now. And it seems like their ratings are starting to attract their niche audience more than anything else. Just because your favorites are on TV doesn't necessarily mean that you want to see them fight against the opponents that they're fighting. But the good news is we have Forbidden Door this weekend. So once we get past Forbidden Door, with all due respect, hopefully New Japan is not brought up for the foreseeable future. I'm looking forward to the event. It's going to be a good event. And this helps both products in the end because New Japan gets a little bit more exposure to American wrestling fans more than anything else. AEW fans get to see some matches that they would have never seen before, maybe have dreamed on seeing. And that's it. This pay-per-view is designed for AEW fans and New Japan fans. It's not really designed for the casual fan that might tune in. I don't expect that audience to be huge. But as we said over the weekend, and I'm sticking with it, once Forbidden Door is over with, they need, if they're going to bring MJF back on TV for some storyline advancement, they need to do it in the next 2 weeks. They cannot keep doing stuff like this. You know, oh, Bryan Danielson, he's going to address Blood and Guts and Forbidden Door. You know, I don't know many people that are going to tune in simply because he's cutting a promo. You know, we got Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on Jericho and Lance Archer this Wednesday on Dynamite. We have Will Ospreay and Aussie Open versus Orange Cassidy, Trent Beretta, and Rocky Romero, Roppongi Vice. And then we have Penta versus Malakai Black. The winner goes on to Forbidden Door to fight in the four-way for the All-Atlantic Championship. Keep in mind, we've already talked about that it appears that Penta is not allowed to wrestle at Forbidden Door because of the relationship with AAA and CMLL at New Japan. So a lot of people are already feeling like, oh, Penta's not winning this. And we've seen, you know, the House of Black and the Death Triangle fight over and over and over and over and over again. You know, it's going to be a great match. But when you've seen it over and over and over again, after a while, you feel like, oh, I can miss this one. I'm not going to see anything that I haven't seen before. And who knows? Because it seems like Malakai Black is going to go on to Forbidden Door, we might see some hocus-pocus stupid shit from Julie Hart. So, on the NXT side, we got Tony D'Angelo trying to take that NXT North American Championship from Carmelo Hayes. Take note of somebody missing on the right of this banner. I don't know how they're going to play it off on TV. I don't recall on the spoilers if Two Dimes was not at ringside. I have not heard anything from anybody who was there, so I don't know. But it'd be very interesting if Two Dimes was pulled before this match even occurred at the tapings. Because remember, this was taped 2 weeks ago. So we will see what happens. But obviously, as we talked 2 weeks ago, I expect he's going to just disappear. And D'Angelo's going to think that Legado del Fantasma was behind it. And you remember my idea, you know, he gets a jewelry box, opens it up, it's a pair of dimes. I know it looks sounds stupid, but this is NXT. They're not going to go gory on us. So Two Dimes is done. And you see the banner. Solo Sikoa will be taking on Grayson Waller. Alba Fire, the former Kaylee Ray, will be taking on Last Legend. And that's all it's advertised. But still, three solid matches for NXT. And give them props, man. 550 to 650 is their average. And I think that is a very, very acceptable number. I don't know what you do about Rampage other than what I've said all along. Move Rampage to 7 p.m. Eastern Friday nights. 7 p.m. Eastern. I know my West Coast friends do not like that idea, but as a lead-in to SmackDown, you will get more fans that may tune in a half an hour before SmackDown. Hey, let me check out this AEW main event tonight. You got fans excited. You got 2 million fans that tune into SmackDown on Fridays. You have the possibility of getting even half of them to tune in for a half an hour, 40 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is. Give them enough that the next week they say, you know what, let me go check it out. And they watch a little more. They watch a little more and watch a little more. I'm telling you, AEW should seriously, if there's any way that TBS would do it, they should move it to 7 p.m. on Friday nights. I think their rating would be so much better. But there is no denying it. 331,000 viewers on their regular time slot is horrendous. Horrendous. And those people online could be covering it up and sugarcoating it and blaming it on everything else and their mother. Now you're starting to realize you're talking 400,000 fans, more than half no longer watching. Or better yet, doing something else. Don't tell me, oh, it's nice out. It's warm. So people are going out. Don't give me that. Now I see people focusing on commercial breaks. Oh, look at the dip because of the commercial break. Oh, boy. Okay. We have a few more things. We have some questions. So I'm going to spend some time with you with questions. We're only in an hour and 15 minutes. So we still have about 15 minutes of content. Now, tomorrow for the NXT watch party, and it would have helped if I put an image on the screen. Very, very cool. I want to share with you. Here it is. All right. I got these sent to me. These are the latest Chella Toys Atom Bomb Series 2 figures. They just arrived, and they are awesome in person. I want to thank Chella Toys, and I want to thank Brian Clark especially. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say it. I don't give a shit. It feels good when you get compliments. You know, but when I get DMs from people like Atom Bomb and other people in wrestling, some, you know, who are, you know, in some promotions, Hall of Famers, telling me, keep doing what you're doing. And having this guy send me a message tonight, DT, I'm proud of you. You know, and that just hits a totally different emotion over here. And I absolutely love doing this. And, you know, my feelings towards them are 100% genuine. He was hanging out tonight. During this afternoon sit down, he was hanging out in the chat room, chatting with everybody. You'll be surprised once in a while who shows up. Some of them are incognito. Some of them, I don't say anything unless they come out and say it. But tomorrow we're going to give away two of these. And they're very cool in the back. I don't know if you can see the back. But yeah, that is the back of it. Look at my grimy fingers. So we're going to give two of these away tomorrow. We'll have two winners. But right now, very quickly, and then we'll get to questions. And then we'll call it. We have to give this away. Now, even if you don't like Vince McMahon, you could go on eBay right now and get $100, $150 for this. No problem. If you want to spend a couple of bucks and get a PSA authenticated, you could get even more. Keep it, enjoy it, sell it, tear it up, burn it. I don't care. But somebody who was part of the watch parties Friday is going to win this autographed photo of Vince McMahon. It's amazing that that's only about 6 years ago. Sure, it's probably Photoshopped, but here's the wheel. And as we now do, if you show up and you chat in the text, you get an entry in on the wheel. If you show up and don't text at all, there's a lot of people that show up and then they walk away from their computers for 2 hours. And then they think, oh, I'm here. Give me a prize. They're not eligible. So if you don't see your name on here, it's only because you showed up, but you didn't chat. The whole idea of having these watch parties is we all get together, we watch the wrestling together, and we also talk. You know, you don't have to have audio, you don't have to have video, but for those who do chat on the stage. And all that means is that they have their audio enabled and they talk. Some people enable their video as well. And we just chat for a couple of hours. We talked about Vince, Sasha, SmackDown, AEW, Tony Khan, rating, everything. So when you see someone's name twice, that's because they were on the stage actually talking or showing their video. So I'm going to spin this live, and it would have helped if I had the program on my screen. Damn, DT, a little careless over here. All right, let's pull it up. I'm pulling up the wheel. Let's get to widgets. It's Streamlabs. Okay, here's the spin wheel. All right, I'm going to spin it. Whoever it lands on gets the Vince McMahon sign photo. Good luck. Oh, it land. I'm not in personal, but I hope it lands on somebody who hasn't won yet. Let's see. Ah, Eric, wait a minute. That landed right on the middle line. I don't think you won, sir. I don't know. Should we give it to him? I don't know. That landed right on the freaking line. I think we give it to Eric Williams anyway. So, Eric, congrats, my friend. And I think Friday might have been his first time hanging out on the stage. Yeah, everybody's saying giving it to him. The evil YouTube chat room. You evil people, you. So, Eric Williams, congrats. All right. Most of you out there are obviously not part of this, but if you want to be part of the Atom Bomb giveaways tomorrow, because we'll pick two winners later this week, and then Friday, we'll come up with a couple of prizes. So, and by the way, in the very near future, at least once a month, maybe twice a month, I'm going to pre-record in advance, not live, but I'm going to pre-record the Q&A episodes again. Obviously, my channel members, they'll get answered first. It's only fair. Patrons that want to be part of it too. But if everyone out there wants to be part of it, and look, I have done email questions for 25 years, but I love how Jim Cornette does it with Brian Last. The only thing that I won't do, and I've said this before, if you've ever tuned into their mailbag, you will not hear me say after each person, this email was sent to cornydrivethrough@gmail.com. This is from Steve, who emailed at cornydrivethrough. So you will, that's the only difference with mine. You will not hear me say, Nero Fay sent an email to dontony@dontony.com. John Schmidt sent an email to Don. So there's the fucking email. It can't get any easier than that. dontony@dontony.com. So if you want to start sending me a question or two, we will record one in the next 10 days and it'll be strictly mailbag. So dontony@dontony.com. And I'm giving everybody about a week, week and a half's time in advance. Ask me anything. It could be old school, new school, wrestling, none, anything. And we'll have a blast. So, and that'll be pre-recorded. So this way we put it online. Everybody's questions are answered. But in the meantime, let's answer a few others. Then let me just answer these super chats for a moment. Then I will go to the live chat room. And then I'll answer a few questions there. And then we'll call it. So NBA Dakali. Am I a weirdo for watching wrestling again just because of Vince's scandal? No, not at all. Listen, I sound like the Acclaim. Listen. You notice why he Max Caster does that, right? He's got to get the cadence when he hears the music. All right, listen. Acclaimed is in the house. You got it. And that's why he does it. He hears the beat. And he's trying to get the rhythm to the beat, and he's thinking of his head, and then that's how he does it. So it's actually very, very talented, man. He's good. But no, man, I'm just telling you straight out. As someone who doesn't cheat, I was never good looking enough to even be in that position. But even if I was, it's just not in me. I don't like cheating. I don't want to be cheated on myself. But there are people, my hat feels like it's falling off. There are people who are in some very strange relationships. And as I said the other day, watching Linda McMahon and some of these storylines is just weird. Why would you, like, over dinner?
All right, Linda, you're going to sit in a wheelchair, and I'm going to play tonsil hockey with Trish. And then you're going to look all this, like, drugged up and everything. And I'm going to just keep doing it. And don't worry, at the end, you're going to...
See, I don't sound like him now. So I can't have a... I could just go,
you're fired!
How do you sit over dinner and be like, yeah, that's a great idea? I mean, how does somebody come up, wow, you know, we want Eric Bischoff to, like, hit on you. We want him to grab your knobs, look at your tits and everything. And how'd she go along with that? I mean, for entertainment purposes? So there's a little, ever since back then, I used to say, that family's a little weird, man. I used to be very, very nasty on my shows. Very, very rude. And I used to say at that time that it wouldn't surprise me that Linda McMahon was sexually getting aroused at some of these storylines. I don't want to say it now because she's a grandma. She's a lot older and this and that. And I'm older myself. But, you know, I mean, let's not pretend here. That family, all of them, are a little bit odd. So Vince cheating, you know, and I said this, responded to a comment from Rams fan earlier. You know, when Vince pulled his pants down to go with this paralegal, Vince knew exactly what he was getting himself into. He knew the risk, and it didn't matter. He wanted to do it anyway. And as I said on Thursday, that no one has talked about. See the Jeff Hardy thing? Now, we don't have any updates right now, but, you know, when I said, where did he get the car? JD from New York was the only other person that I saw online that asked the question, where did he get the car? Everyone else is, they're afraid to reveal who it is. We're working on it. We're working on it. But my point is, you know, at the end of the day, with this situation, you know, Vince knew exactly what he was getting into. He took $3 million out of his bank account. You're saying to me that Linda doesn't have access to that bank account? Hey, honey, what's this?
I bought a 24-karat gold house.
You know, like, you don't even know. Linda might have known about this. Remember, this payoff, this agreement was in January. You know what's interesting, and nobody's picked up on this? Remember the shirts that they put on sale, like this one and the billion-dollar asshole? Those shirts were put on sale a week after this payout. I would not be surprised if we see a whole campaign about supporting Vince McMahon going forward. He's the majority owner. I mean, if these board of directors, like, wow, this guy's out of control. You know, they're like, he's condoning this and he's making people. It's going to be really interesting. But understand, if Vince starts this campaign to support Vince through this and the stock does not plummet, it goes up, it goes down. Over the last month, I think, the stock is up. Over the last week overall, it's up about 50 cents. You know, it went up, it went down. That's what happens. If the stock plummets, that's the investor saying, no, we don't like where this is going. The board of directors don't have any issue with it. You know, you got to take note of that. Me, as a guy, selfish, I would never cheat on my future wife, but I hope to God at 73 years old, I still want to do it. And let me tell you something. It would be very flattering if somebody tells me at 73 years old that I'm still attractive. You know, at 73, you know, I trust me, I'm sorry for sounding like an asshole, but there's a lot of you out there. There's a lot of guys watching this right now that deep down inside, if you turn 73, married, single, gay, straight, it doesn't matter, and somebody 30 years younger still finds you attractive, that's complimentary, that's arousing, and some of you out there may have done the same thing. I'm not saying that it's right or it's wrong, but again, no crimes were committed. So if this has you interested to watch again, No problem with it. No problem with it. You know, let's just not be selective with the outrage because people like people and they dislike other people. There's a lot of people in wrestling that have been awful as boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, and wives over the years. Fucking awful. Just because they don't own a billion-dollar company doesn't mean cheating on your wife is any less bad. You know, people are outraged with this because they hate Vince McMahon and hate WWE, and they feel this is their last shot to really get him. And where people are going to get it wrong, and I'm sorry if this is going to be repeated numerous times in the future, but it's a very important point. There's a lot of people out there that will not be patient and wait for the outcome, and they will try to steer it or force it in a direction that it's not. And they think because they say it 1,000 times that it has to be true. And that's where they're going to screw up royally. So, Daniel, Roman Reigns versus Vince McMahon, winner takes WWE. Vince cannot do anything. Look back at the WrestleMania match now. Him and Pat McAfee. That payout was done. The agreement was done. That guy put himself in the match anyway. Is Vince, is this is his goodbye? Is this Vince's swan song? He had the match. He's coming out there. He's taking in the pops. He's giving some inspirational messages here and there. He's saying, fuck you to the haters. He's showing everybody out there that I'm still the boss. You know, is this Vince like, look, if I'm going to be removed month from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, I'm going to have some fun going out. Not, he's not committing any crimes and he's not committing any board violations. Remember, the board of directors did not vote him out of what he's doing right now. He's still part of creative. But no, he can't. Roman Reigns, it would be such a hard sell. It was believable with Pat McAfee, but against a polished regular pro wrestler, it wouldn't work. 10 years ago, maybe different story. So, okay. Didn't know that that was coming. My apologies for everybody in the video. I'm sure he was politely exited out of the chat room. Okay. So, we're at an hour 33. Let's spend 12 minutes here answering questions. And if the questions are quick, we will get through a lot of them. Just write the word question before your question so I could spot it quicker. Dominic Gibson, if Vince McMahon was forced out of WWE, do we see someone from the outside like The Rock by WWE and take it over? No, no. Vince McMahon can be removed as part of board of directors, but Vince McMahon still owns 51% of the stock. They can't force him to sell his stock, which is pretty wild when you think about it. And remember, there's 12 members on the board. We have Vince, Stephanie, and Triple H, and Nick Khan. It represents one-third. I don't know if you need 75% of the board in order to, you know, vote no confidence. I don't know. I don't have an executive board of directors for my businesses. But if it's 75%, you know, keep in mind that Vince, Stephanie, Triple H, and Nick Khan represent 25%. Right there. That means you would have to have every single person on the board of directors to vote against Vince. And if you examine some of these people closely, that's why I'm a little concerned online, because you're going to start seeing people out there trying to dox and pressure some of these board of directors, and they're involved with other businesses. Some of the members on the board, you look at their resumes, they're still bigwigs in other corporations out there. You're going to see people, oh, if that person doesn't vote down for Vince, this person should not buy, nobody should buy this person's product anymore. You'll see whack jobs out there doing that. So, no, I don't see him, you know, someone else going out there and taking it over. It's they wouldn't have that kind of money. I don't see it. I don't see it. FMK from VJ. I'm sure you know what that means. Marry, kill. Linda McMahon, Mae Young, or Moolah? Well, if I could choose at particular ages, Mae Young was a hottie in her younger years. I would put Mae Young at the top of the list that I would probably marry. I probably would marry Mae Young if I got Mae Young like in the very young years, 20s, 30s. As far as sleeping with either Linda or Moolah, Moolah, because I watched a lot of her latter years and just that red lipstick, it was a little scary. Even if I saw Moolah at 20, I just could not. It's just like, you know how you could explain it? Please, Mick Foley, please don't be mad at me. I adore Mick Foley. And I'm saying this more as a comedic thing than anything else. If Noelle Foley was in front of me right now, she's single, I'm single, we like each other, or she likes me, and she wanted to get intimate, I could never. Because I'm looking at her, I'm like, that's Mick Foley's daughter. You see that person's face. And, you know, just some famous people, like you see them. And I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. I don't think I could. So I probably would. I would sleep with Linda in her early years. Moolah, sorry, but Moolah, you'd have to go. You'd have to go. Roderick Howard, giving all the absences and lighter schedules within the main roster. Randy, Cody, Sasha, Naomi. Who would I call up from NXT today? Io Shirai. I would call up Io Shirai. I would consider, believe it or not, I know a lot of people are going to hate me for this. I said this a couple of weeks ago, put Pretty Deadly in Maximum Male Models. I think Pretty Deadly on the main roster would get, it's almost like the male version of the Iconics. I'm not saying that they would scream or anything like that. To me, they just look like if Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy from the 90s slept with Wham. You know, it's just like that would be the love child. I think Pretty Deadly on the main roster would be really, really interesting. I would like to see Pretty Deadly on the main roster. Carmelo Hayes, Bron Breakker, Joe Gacy, and a few others. Let them stay in NXT for another 6 months to a year. No rush. You bring them up right now, they get lost in the shuffle. That's where I would go with. All right. We still got about 6-7 minutes. Let's answer a few more. Props to everybody who is hanging out tonight. I know it's a little late. My God, it's 12:45 over here. Tomorrow I go see the doctor about either getting surgery, the radiation seed, or chemo. So tomorrow I will definitely make sure to record a couple of seconds while I'm there so people don't see I'm making this shit up, or, you know, we'll see what happens. So, or maybe I can hold off a year. So we'll see. Tomorrow's big day. So just letting everybody know. Mike from New York, will the Attitude Era ever be back, or more edgy program? Basically, AJ Styles and The Miz talking about balls at the 10 o'clock hour is probably as close as you're going to get right now. It's a publicly traded company. The only way you would see any more consistent adult entertainment or more TV-14, that's a better way to put it, is if it reflected society. You know, the advertisers and the investors are the number one people that would have to accept it. You know, just think about the outrage when they got the TV-14 rating because of the storyline they did with Retribution. That one night that they were on Fox, Fox is like, oh yeah, you want to put this on? No problem, TV-14. You never saw Retribution on SmackDown again. So the investors would have to approve it. Stockholders would have to approve it. And it would have to reflect society. Without that, no way that they're going to turn TV-14. No. I prefer to say TV-14 than Attitude Era, because Attitude Era, I think at this day and age, some of it might be considered NC-17. All right. Thank you, everybody, for the kind words. I don't say that stuff, you know, to try to get sympathy posts or anything like that. You know, it's just in case something happens. You know, I want everybody to be aware of it. So that's the only reason why I'm telling everybody. rather be a little bit straight up about it. That's why, you know, when I get some people privately that, you know, like talk like podcasting controversy stuff, I'm like, man, you know, I got this. You think I'm thinking about other shit like that? Doing the shows gives me fun, energy, you know, so this is my outlet, my release. So, all right. I Butch Scrappy Doo. No. It's old school, early 1900s gang fights. You know, Butch is a little bit stupid. He's almost like a mute and he's got to be held back because he, you know, it's a little comedic, but it is getting a little bit played. I guarantee you within a couple of months, we will not see Butch to that extent doing what he's doing right now. It is a little corny. I want to see him have a little momentum. I like the group. I actually like Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch. I have no problem with Butch. Just that uncontrollable, like, where did he go? It's a little goofy. Why does nobody bring up that SmackDown has always been PG, embedded in Raw times when Raw's, well, because nobody asks. You say, why does no one bring up that SmackDown has always been PG and better than Raw times when Raw was still TV-14? Well, what part of Raw is TV-14 are you referencing? Are you talking about middle 2000s? You're talking about, you know, I mean, that's really the only era because they went PG after that. You're talking about a very, very small part of SmackDown history. That's probably the reason why nobody brings it up. If you actually dissect it and see, you're talking about a very small amount of time. Rob is asking, will WWE break up Judgment Day sooner than later? I'm not going to consider their demise yet. They've only started. But, man, what an awful 3 weeks since the beatdown to Edge. I mean, sure, look, it's unfortunate Rhea Ripley cannot compete at Money in the Bank. But when I saw that Finn and Damian Priest were on the main event tonight, look, it's a nice, fun main event, them taking on the Mysterios, but I'm like, wait a minute. You know, they're not involved with Money in the Bank, it seems. And maybe they're holding it off for SummerSlam. Edge is going to return. Who does he align with? You know, we'll probably have a vignette or maybe an interview with Edge at his home, and he doesn't know what his future is going to be, that he abandoned everybody, and he's a man on a desert island by himself. You know, so that's got to develop a little bit. But, man, what a crappy 3 weeks. All we see of Judgment Day the last 3 weeks are highlights of the Edge beatdown. So they got to do something soon. Who comes back first, Cody or Randy Orton? Randy Orton. Randy Orton. I brought this up to somebody yesterday. You got to use a little common sense, and it makes it a little bit easier to think about. If Randy Orton truly was going to be out for the rest of the year, next year, possibly retired, this and that, if he had to get surgery or there's something seriously wrong with him, just to intensify the current storyline with Riddle, you don't think we would have seen some footage? Randy Orton going to a doctor, Randy Orton getting an MRI, Randy Orton undergoing the knife. We don't see nothing. Nothing whatsoever. All we see is what Riddle is telling us. After a week or two, you start asking yourself, why is WWE not even showing anything to back this up? It would intensify and legitimize the storyline. That's why I think something is up. I honestly think something is up. And look, I'm not bragging, but if you follow this show for years and years and years, you know that my hunches usually are right on point. So, I don't really care about the January 6th stuff. It was fucked up, and everybody who was involved definitely needs to be held accountable. It's a dark day in our history. I hope it never happens again. I don't care who is president. I don't care who is not president. It's just something that shouldn't have happened, period. You know what's wild looking back on it? January 6th is my dad's birthday. And on January 6th, Judge Jeanine Pirro, for those who know who she is, She sent a happy birthday to my dad. I was going to order a cameo, and when I sent her a message and said that my father met her a few times and this and that, and I said a little bit of history, she's like, oh, this one's on me, because my father had the heart surgery. She didn't accept any money. She did it for nothing. And she talked about January 6th. It was going down. And I would never replay it because it would cause controversy. So, thank you very much. Nothing against, you know, this, but I didn't realize I had the Roman Vince on the screen. So sorry about that. All right. Let's bring this home in about two, three minutes. It's getting late. I'm tired. Where do I rank Eddie Guerrero on my all-time favorite list? Top 20. My favorites, top 20. Easily, top 20. I loved Eddie Guerrero before he even went to ECW in 1995. I mean, when I started seeing him with the Love Machine, Art Bar, and then when Worlds Collide, you know, I really started to get into Eddie Guerrero, really enjoyed his work. His feud with Dean Malenko in ECW was beautiful. Then they went to WCW after, and, you know, he's definitely in my top 20. All right. Kurt Angle feud, which one was better? Shawn Michaels doing the sexy Kurt or Cena as rapping Kurt? I liked them both, but Kurt Angle feuding with Cena was better. Kurt Angle doing the rap, you know, oh, that was funny, man. And the referee doing the beatbox, the human beatbox. I mean, I like sexy Kurt, you know, because it was nice to see Sherry, but unfortunately Sherry got it after. But I like Kurt Angle rapping better. So if they were both awesome, though. All right. James is asking, will I ever answer one of his questions? I don't see any of your questions. I see him calling someone a clown. I don't see any questions. I don't. I'm serious. I'm being honest. I don't want to wrap it up with that, but James, ask a question before we go. I'll give it to James. James is a longtime supporter of the show. Not ignoring him. 9/11 did not affect the Attitude Era. You know, if anything, it sparked Muhammad Hassan and some other controversy afterwards. So, repost your question. I don't see any question there. Maybe he just wanted a shout out. He was calling Ruby Soho a clown. She's not a clown. I mean, AEW's obviously misused her. They've misused a lot of women in that company. She's not damaged goods. You know, the problem is AEW thinks because she beat 134 people on Dark and Elevation that you could put a bottom graphic that she's 134-5. And I'm exaggerating, but just because I see that number, I'm like, oh, she should have the title. You know, it's how you perceived on TV. You know, I think AEW forgets. We know this is sports entertainment. We know that MJF, and I'm sorry for bringing it up again, when he was feuding with Jericho, they're hanging out in the back, chatting it up. We know these wrestlers are friends, most of them on the outside. So if we believe that what we're watching is entertainment, you put on the screen 192-3 or 41-4, you know, we're not going to be like, oh, she's got 41 wins. No, it's perception. It's perception. You know, we don't look at numbers and immediately think like, oh, that's a main eventer. It's how to use them. Can I do autographs? Sure I can. Email me, dontony@dontony.com. I could send one, sure. Has anyone ever won a prize that lived a couple of blocks away that I walked over and delivered it? I actually had two people over the years pick him up from my office. One guy lived in Brooklyn. One guy lived in Ozone Park. One of them showed up unannounced. And I was like, all right, just have a seat over there and let me put the box together. And I put it together, but they were both really, really cool. I'll be straight out honest. I don't like surprise visits in my office because that's my office work and my customers. It's very serious stuff that I do. And although I like socializing, usually things during the day get very, very crazy. And I would feel awful to somebody because, believe me, some people have offered to make a trip from long ways away. And I told them every time, like, look, please don't, because I'm going to feel awful if you make this trip all the way here and I don't have time to hang out with you because I got four customers waiting in my office. So save me postage, though. I have not been at the 9/11 site. No, not. Nope. Just bad vibes, bad memories. Would not go there. Should WWE change Omos's finisher because he doesn't even know how to do it right? Yeah, I've thought about that. I would prefer that he get better at it, but man, I mean, just picture during the day. Picture the performance center. I mean, I feel bad for the students that would have to keep taking it over and over again. But, you know, they got to have mannequins or something. Here, Omos, do it 500 times in the middle of the ring. Are you fucking stupid? You know, like, by now he should be better at it. If he doesn't get better soon, I would say change it. And do you notice all these big men, they all use the head, squeezing the head thing? Now Satnam Singh is doing it. I tell you, Satnam Singh, I really cannot complain. Just that cross body that he did was kind of funny because he's so big. He only got like 6 inches off the ground. That's like if you like did a cross body into a pool, there's a good chance that your head is going to hit the edge of the pool. Like there's no lift whatsoever. I don't think Stephanie McMahon will appear with related to this Vince stuff. No, not at all. Would make no sense. Understand something. And we said this last week. Vince is not going to come on TV and answer these allegations. Why would you do that? Why would you do that to casual wrestling fans? You know, there were people actually reporting that idiot from ESPN last week. Oh, Mr. McMahon's going to appear on SmackDown and he's going to answer the allegations. Says who? Who the fuck actually thought that Vince McMahon was, or Mr. McMahon was going to show up on SmackDown and actually address those charges? You know, there's something that cops tell people what you say should be or can be and will be. No, what you say can be and will be used against you. What's Vince going to say? I slept with her and I did it all night long. Like the DX thing. Remember the DX, the Shawn Michaels? I admit it. I slept with that intern. In fact, I did it all night long. Like, what do you expect Vince McMahon to do? If he denies it, everybody's going to be like, you fucking lied. And if he lied, he's even in more trouble. If he says he did it, then he admitted it, and he's in more trouble. So what do you say? What could you say? That's why, like I said, use common sense. When people say, oh, he's going to address it, how? What can he say? If he admits it, he's in trouble. If he denies it and it's found out that he did it, he's in trouble. People online, man, they're stupid. They're stupid. Or they just want to clickbait everybody, man. This ain't brain surgery. All right, we end up going longer. We're an hour and 54. So let's go 3 more minutes. This way we'll be finished at exactly the 2-hour mark. If you're a member of our Patreon family, join me tomorrow night right after NXT. I will be here doing a show. For the listeners of Kevin Castle's Patreon shows, I let Kevin know today, probably next week, because it's a little hectic this week, especially with me personally. The channel that I use for my Patreon, Kevin's shows will be there in the near future as well. The reason being is because Patreon, when you sign up or when you leave, it automatically gives you the role for my Patreon. And right now, Kevin's Patreon shows have been airing on Soup's Discord channel. And I used to be part of that Discord channel, but obviously I'm not anymore. And Mish has removed all of my powers. So I can't even moderate the chat for my own Patreon Discord content. So it's going to be moving to the channel that the Patreon is associated with. Really, all that changes is that instead of clicking one menu, you click another menu. But I already told Kev, I DM'd him earlier today. He hasn't gotten back to me, but I DM'd him this afternoon that I'm going to make sure all of the Craig and all that other stuff works before, you know, he goes over there. So probably start next week, but, you know, I got to be able to moderate my own Patreon channel, especially when you get new people, when people leave, some people, you know, try to sabotage the channel. You know, I got to be able to, you know, handle my own business. So James Pascoe, welcome to La Nostra Familia, my friend. Ah, I joked with him early and he joined the family. Everybody should be like that. James, welcome back. What wrestler's death was the most emotional for me? Chris Candido. Because I became friendly with the man. I still remember that day. I remember the weather. I remember what I was wearing, where I was driving. Still remember the mass maniac calling me up hysterically crying. I drove all the way to Jersey for the funeral with Georgie Ann Macropoulos, God rest his soul. There was a lot of deaths that really hit me. Eddie Guerrero's was horrible. Owen Hart was horrible. Brian Pillman, Bam Bam Bigelow. There's quite a few over the years. George the Animal Steel. I got to meet him twice. My grandmother adored George the Animal Steel. There's been many. I mean, Daphne's has got to be right up there with Chris Candido because I was friends with Daphne for over 20 years. I mean, you know, that was horrible because I did the show that night. It was going down in real time. And just to show you, like, I still have on my counter, I still have tons of stuff from her. And, you know, I just never put it away. I have all those cards and letters and a lot of private conversations. You know, we talked very, very, let me tell you something. I was going to reach out to April Hunter. She happens to hear this because I know she was talking about something with Raven and somebody had mentioned Daphne about a horrible experience that she had with Raven. And, April Hunter, you know, I think always wanted to know that story. I was there. And, but I'm not one to like, you know, like rat or kiss and tell or anything like that. But, you know, I know that was something that she really wanted to know what transpired. You know, I don't want to make any accusation. I'm not trying to say anything like that. But, you know, it was just, that was just awful. That was just awful. And it really bothers me that, you know, nobody could just convince her one more time, don't do it. That's rough. And that's why if you see the plate, the Daphne plate in the background, it'll always stay there. It'll always stay there. So Daphne was such a wonderful person, man. Wonderful person. Yeah, it was surreal. It was surreal. You know, I still, and I've told you this before, I still have some animosity towards a few people in the journalistic world out there because as this was all going down, I've told this before, and I have the DMs to back it up. They were all like, if anybody has their phone number, this and that. And I found two phone numbers, and they were both good. I don't know which one was her cell number, but, you know, I kept in contact with her. I didn't talk to her for about 6 months before this, but I still had an address, and I still had a phone number. And when they were like, if anybody knows this, and I DM'd six different people, and I put them all in one conversation, I'm like, look, I have a number, I have an address, I just checked the number, it's still good, the address still points to her, you know, but I don't want to just put it out there, you know, DM me back or email me and I'll give you the info. And of those six people, only one person ever responded back to me. That person responded back to me a day later and like, look, I'm sorry, I didn't see your message until later on. They were flooded with hundreds of messages, which I totally understand. Five of those six people have never to this day ever responded. And I just thought, man, wow, you know, did they put that all out there publicly just to make themselves look good? You know, or I don't know. Or am I that much of an asshole that they didn't even want my information? How weird and fucked up is that? So that's something that I'll never understand. I'll never understand that. even if I'm the biggest asshole in their eyes, if I tell you, look, I think I got her number. It still works. It's going to her voicemail. And you don't respond to me. Why? Because you think down the line, hey, you know, I got to give props to DT. He's the one that had her number, or we tried this and that. I'm like, wow, that just left me with a really weird feeling. You know, not everybody online is as good of people. And I want to make this clear. The people I DM'd, I never, ever did a show with. So I don't want anybody to start thinking, oh, I'm talking about, no. Anybody from my past didn't do anything wrong. So, Daphne and Chris Candido, probably the top two for me. The Eddie Guerrero, sure, the tribute brings me to tears. The Owen Hart tribute brings me to tears. All right. With that said, let's get out of here. It's getting a little bit late. We are at 1:08 a.m. I still got some work to do over here. Don't forget, if you're not aware already, Pro Wrestling TV. They have iPhone, Android, Roku, Samsung, Smart TV. Download it. It's free. I am now on Pro Wrestling TV. My audio shows are part of the Blue Wire Network. My video shows are part of Pro Wrestling TV. We've been there since June 8th, and it is mind-boggling how big it's gotten already. It's awesome. And you look at that channel, and it's just like Blue Wire. You look at Blue Wire, and there's only 8 wrestling shows there. And they're Chris Van Vliet, Sam Roberts, JD from New York, Gallows and Anderson, Rocky Romero, like Top Rope. Everybody there is famous people. And then you see me. And you're like, this doesn't look right. Am I paying someone to be on there? Am I taking care of someone physically? No. That's how awesome it is. They reached out. Same thing with Pro Wrestling TV. You go there, and I'm smack in the middle between Matt Cardona and the Iconics. Think about my history criticizing Matt Cardona and the Iconics. I take pride that I've been complimenting them the last year because I had no idea that this was going to happen. But it's funny to go on that channel and you see everything is famous or their promotions, and then you see Don Tony. They're like, something is strange here. But it's awesome. And I thank you all for the support. Puts a smile on my face. And I get to take off this back brace because I got issues there. Yeah, I'm all fucked up. But it's all good. So if you're part of our Patreon family, I hope to see you tomorrow night in the chat. If you want to be part of the NXT watch party, very easy, tinyurl.com/DT watch party. Go to my social media. There's links there, plugs. I'll be putting up a teaser tomorrow. We're going to give away a pair of these. They're mint condition, brand new, sealed. I'm not opening them. So we'll pick 2 lucky winners. And tomorrow's going to be a fun episode of NXT. And I want to see if they do any storyline advancement with 2 dimes. So, and look, even if you're not interested in the prizes, I promise you, we have so much fun during these watch parties and we have some great conversation. I know there's a few people that feel like they're too cool for school, you know, but trust me, you know, everybody is just having a good time. And if you're really self-conscious about how you look, you don't have to show your face on the screen. You know, if you're afraid to verbally talk and us to hear your voice, then you type. But one thing is for certain, you will hear some awesome conversation tomorrow for 2 hours. Stop by for a few minutes. And, you know, it's fun times. It's fun times. And I'm very, very happy to be part of that as well. You know, they do a really good job, you know, get playback. And they definitely, I mean, my God, they don't just do wrestling. They do all forms of sports. And they have some great channels there as well. So, everyone, it's been real. Thank you for a really fun night tonight. You know, my original intentions was 75 minutes and it turned into 125. So that's because you keep the conversation going. So I thank you all and you have a great night. Enjoy the rest of the week. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow on either a watch party or Patreon. If not, Wednesday after Dynamite. Wednesday I'll probably do the predictions for Forbidden Door because honestly, I'm not going to get into very much detail about the New Japan wrestlers because a majority of you out there don't follow them on a regular basis. So I'm not going to say, well, this person should win, because I think it's pretty clear cut who's going to win some of these matches. So predictions will be Wednesday night after Dynamite. We'll see what goes down on Wednesday as well. And it'll be good times. So be well, everybody. Much love, and I'll see you later this week.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.